This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
For the podcast, Chris Graham and Seth Megaton. We're going to break down the World Cup. 2018 World Cup is upon us. We're on the eve of the beginning of the quadrennial event. But first, I guess we have to talk, Seth, about some big news. It's still 8 years away as far as, you know, us being able to enjoy it here in the States. But the 2026 World Cup awarded to the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. 60 of the 80 matches will be played in the U.S., but that joint bid wins out. I loved your reaction on Twitter, Seth, your personal reaction to it, but maybe share that, and then also let's break down that news. Big news for the U.S.
Oh, yeah, very big news. The United States has been looking to get the World Cup back in the United States for ever since it left back in 1994. We bidded for it in 2010, we bidded for it, and I believe in 2022, and that one infamously went to Carter, which that's a whole different story for another day in itself. But yeah, it's big news for the United States. Hopefully it helps soccer grow, and after missing the World Cup here in 2018, all it can do is help to have the World Cup in our backyard. And it's 8 years away. I hope to have my life together by then. Maybe I'll get to cover it, who knows. But yeah, like you say, it should be a good time. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, right. If Augusta Free Press doesn't get credentialed for it, I was even thinking, I gotta apply for these credentials now. I want to get in on this. I mean, you know, but we already know the final will be at MetLife Stadium in New York. And now, among the questions, and I don't think this has been answered yet as we're recording this podcast anyway, later in the day on Wednesday. Normally the host country gets an automatic bid, but since there are three host countries, I don't think, at least as of the last I looked, I don't think anybody's been determined for that as whether or not there will be one, two, three, or even zero automatic bids given out there. Canada hasn't played in a World Cup since I think it was 1986. Of course, Mexico doesn't seem to ever have an issue. I don't think they need to worry about an automatic bid. The U.S. may need to worry about that, as we know we didn't make the field this year, so. So that could be something. I mean, yeah, it gives us a goal to work towards, but what is the thinking on that? You read more into this and keep up more than I do on this, Seth. Is the thinking that there will be an auto bid, and if so, who might be in line for that?
Yeah, I looked it up because, like you said, initially, you know, if you are the host nation, you're automatically in, and this will only be the second time that more than one country is hosting it together. Back in 2002, South Korea and Japan co-hosted it, and both of them automatically got in. They did not have to qualify, but this was the first time with three countries that they're having it. And so I looked it up, and apparently what they said was FIFA in 2019, June of 2019, I believe it was, will vote on whether or not to let all three in, but if they don't let all three automatically qualify, then none of the three will automatically qualify. So it's either going to be all three or none. So they still have another year, I guess, to mull that over, think about it. Personally, the field is going to expand to 48 teams for that World Cup. That'll be the first World Cup that's supposed to be 48 teams. So more teams in North America will get in. So I'm not too sure that affects Mexico, like you said, or even the United States. Because, I mean, you would think four teams getting in, we should be able to do it. Canada is the one that I think it affects the most. If they say, yes, all three are in, then that's great for Canada. But if not, then Canada might struggle to even get into a World Cup that's supposed to be in their own country.
Yeah, and that's a great point about the expansion of the field to 48. That may, the vote's next year, so but that may give FIFA the insight into let's put them all three in automatically, because like you said, two of the three will with an expanded field will likely get in. Canada would have a hard time no matter what. So now, other news I think that's interesting to get into: we're on the eve of the World Cup. One of the favorites, I think the second favorite in a lot of people's minds, Spain. Some issues with coaching and their national team coach taking a job with Real Madrid after the Cup. The announcement made now to try to cut off any leak of that news getting out, but then Spain reacts, maybe overreacts. Take us through this interesting, odd saga here on the eve of the Cup.
Yeah, I was totally caught off guard by this. First off, I didn't even know Real Madrid was looking at him to make him their coach. Apparently that's not what Spain wanted. Spain did not want a guy to have made a commitment for after this World Cup. I guess they wanted him to stick around for longer after this, especially if things went well at this World Cup. But yeah, they decided that it was best just to cut ties with him, which I just find very odd going into this tournament. Like, I feel like you can wait it out. I don't think it would have been much of a distraction. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but a lot of these guys that play on that team play for Real Madrid, so I don't think it was going to be that much of a distraction if that was what the Spanish Federation was thinking. So, yeah, I would say I'm totally caught off guard by it. I don't know how it's going to affect the Spanish team because, like you said, this is a very talented team. They're the second betting favorite is what I think it is. And I would say they're loaded with talent all over the field. Midfield is just absolutely amazing. The players like Andre Iniesta and Isco, they're just unbelievably good. I think that they can make a run in this thing, and I still think they can, even without their coach, with a new coach coming in. I can't remember who the new coach they appointed is off the top of my head. I saw it earlier, but can't remember for the life of me right now. But yeah, it's very rare for even soccer, for a soccer federation to do this. So yeah, totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, the new coach, I've got the story pulled up here. It's sporting director Fernando Hierro, who says he hopes to change as little as he needs to, which would imply, now I want to ask you about this now. Gerard Piquet tweeted today about the Michigan basketball situation from the late 80s when, who was the coach then? It was, and I've got that in front of me here too, when Steve Fisher eventually took over, one of the assistant coaches, but it was, Frieder, Bill Frieder was the head coach, and for some reason in the late 80s, before social media, he wasn't worried about the word getting out ahead of time. He just announced, hey, after the tournament's over, I'm going to Arizona State. And Bo Schembechler, the famous, the Michigan football coach by that point had graduated into being the athletics director at Michigan, said, I want a Michigan man to be the coach, so we're going to make Steve Fisher the assistant coach, the head coach. And Michigan went and won the tournament. So, you know, they went through the turmoil and on the eve of the tournament and went ahead and won. And so PK tweeted about that and said, hey, it's happened before, it can happen again. But from a strategy standpoint, so you've got an assistant coach now who's taken over the reins here right on the eve of the tournament. From a strategy standpoint, he says, I'm not going to change anything. But, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, yeah, I'm not going to drastically change, you know, our approach, whether we attack more, whether we have, you know, the different alignments you can have. But, you know, there's still a lot out there that you have to, on a game day, you know, read the how the match is going. I mean, you know, make adjustments, that kind of thing. You know, just how much is that a factor, do you think, you know, especially this close to a tournament, having a different guy making those calls?
Well, I mean, obviously they were going to keep it in the country. Like, one of the assistant coaches was going to be the next coach. So I really don't think it's going to affect them that much. I really don't. I think they probably have had a plan for a couple of weeks now. If they haven't, then I don't know what they're thinking, and I think they'll just try to stick to it. Now, I don't know, maybe from a standpoint of motivation or something like that, maybe the former coach was better. That could be something. But from a tactical standpoint, I have a hard time seeing how it would affect this Spain team. I really do. And not getting too early of a preview here, but last World Cup, Spain just was drastically bad. They were awful. And I think that, more than anything, is like going to fuel the Spanish team regardless of who their coach is. And they need to come into this World Cup and perform like so much better than they did in 2014. So I just don't think that the coaching is going to change anything, really.
All right, so now I'm going to take Seth. I'm going to take you through the groups, starting with Group A, and just get your thoughts. What I'll do is I'll just go through the teams, and then you tell me, like, you know, who you think a favorite might be, who should emerge into the knockout round from there, and we'll just kind of take it through. And so first group, Group A, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Uruguay. Who do you got there?
I'd say Group A took a little interesting twist a couple weeks ago. Egypt player Mohamed Salah got hurt in the Champions League final for Liverpool, and it's been a question mark of whether or not he can come back and play. And for those of you who haven't watched any soccer, Mohamed Salah had maybe one of the best years you could ever have for a soccer player in the world. So it's just a huge deal for Egypt. Like, he's so beloved in that country. So when he went down, it was just heartbreak, and they said that it would take him about 3 months to recover, but he's been saying that he's going to be ready for their first game, which is on Friday. I don't know if I believe that, but if he is ready to go, and I think even if he's at 80%, I think Egypt could win that group. I really do. That's how good of a player he is. I mean, he can just take over a game by himself. But if he can't take over the if he can't be fit for the first game against Uruguay, then Uruguay is the team that I would get out of that group. They have amazing forwards in Luis Suarez and Edison Cavani. The rest of their team is very solid. They used to be kind of weak in the midfield, but that's actually been kind of solidified. And they have good enough defending that they should be easily be able to get out of that group. Russia and Saudi Arabia, however, not looking from anything from them. Russia is the host, and only once has the host not gotten out of the group stage. And I don't believe that this Russian team is any good. I don't believe being at home is going to help them at all. They actually feel like they've been playing worse the last few months building up this World Cup. So, yeah, them in Saudi Arabia, I don't see them doing much damage in this thing. So I will go with Uruguay winning that group, Egypt getting out in second place.
All right, Group B. Now, this looks like, at least the top couple of teams might have some good competition. Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Iran. Who you got?
All right, so this group is pretty much, it's Spain or Portugal. However, I do like Morocco more than a lot of other people do. Morocco has got some good, solid players all over the field, but at the end of the day, I can't go against Spain and Portugal. I know we just talked about the coach. I still think Spain will find a way to win this group. They have too much talent. David Silva, Isco, Gerard Piqué, Sergio Ramos, just talent all over the field. They have the best goalkeeper in this, and David De Gea. Yeah, they'll win that group, I think. But then you got Portugal, who is the defending European champs. And if anybody watched the 2016 European Championships, Portugal bored everybody to sleep, but somehow found a way to win that thing. But they do have the second-best player in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. And as long as you have him, I don't think that Morocco and Iran will be any problems for them. So I will say Spain and Portugal will get out of that group.
Group C, France, Australia, Peru, Denmark. Not, France certainly is a name we know as a in past years has been a top contender. Who you got in Group C?
All right, so I will go France winning this group. France is just loaded with talent. Actually, after the 2014 World Cup, I already looked ahead and was like, all right, 2018, who's going to be, who's got the young players coming up that are going to be strong? And, like, who might win the 2018 World Cup? And I really liked what I saw in France. Now that we're here, I'm not as high on them as I was back 4 years ago. But I still like them a lot. I'm going to pick them to win the group. But then Denmark is who I have getting out second. And I think Denmark is a team that could honestly make a run in this thing. They have a player named Christian Eriksen who plays for a club called Tottenham. And I think that he is one of the 20 best players in the world. I think he'll be able to just carry Denmark. Even though Denmark does have some players around him, I think he'll just carry the rest of the team. And I still think they will get out. And I also think that there's one player in every World Cup that after it's over, it's bought by like one of the major, major clubs for tons of money. I think that player will be Christian Eriksen of Denmark. So, yeah, I have France and Denmark getting out of that group.
Now, Group D, just some interesting names in Group D. You've got, sort of the underdog favorite in Iceland, in the sense of just the small country. Iceland is in the World Cup. But you've got heavyweights, Argentina, Nigeria, and then you got Croatia. Who you got in Group D?
All right, this is the group that I am the most looking forward to. I think it's actually the best group. A lot of people say that they think Group F is the best group, but Group D is the group that I think is the best. Argentina has Lionel Messi, best player in the world, but they did struggle to qualify for this thing. They literally needed Messi to pretty much carry them in the last game to get here, which a World Cup without Argentina, World Cup without Argentina or Italy, that would have just been ridiculous. So they should be the favorites. However, the other three teams, I think, are very good, solid teams. Croatia is a team that I honestly think can make the semifinals or even the finals. That's how much talent they have. Iceland, everyone knows the story about the 2016 team that went all the way to the quarterfinals of the Euro. A fourth, if not half, the country will probably be in Russia supporting them, so you know that they're going to have the motivation. And then Nigeria is an African team that is actually, they have tons of players that are playing on the bigger leagues around the world, and they should not be an easy out at all. In fact, they beat Argentina a few months back in a friendly. But I'm going to go with Croatia winning this group, and then I'm going to shock some people. I'm going to have Argentina not get out of this group. I'm going to go Croatia, and I'm going to go with Iceland to get the runner-up spot. So both of those two teams, Croatia and Iceland, to get out.
Yeah, we got our first sort of bit of breaking news here. Yeah, I like that. I mean, that's a tough group. There's certainly, you know, that's certainly one of the more standout groups in this field. So let's move to Group E, Brazil, the beautiful game, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia. What you got there?
All right, so Brazil, obviously led by Neymar, who in 2014 was just fantastic for Brazil. He got hurt, and then that 7-1 beatdown that Germany gave them took place in the semifinals. Not sure if Neymar would have helped that much, because that Germany team was just vastly superior than that Brazil team. But this is the first time, I think, in the last maybe 12 years that Brazil has got a team that really looks like a Brazilian team. Last World Cup, everyone was picking Brazil just because it was in Brazil. This time, people are picking Brazil because they legitimately should be picked as the favorites. They have talent just like Spain all over the field. Coutinho, Marcelo, Gabriel Jesus, they're just, loaded with talent as always. And they'll play more of a style, I think, that people will recognize, like from the old days of Brazil, the people that have followed them for a long time. So I look for them to get out of the group as the winners. Second place will be interesting in this. All three of the teams with Switzerland, Serbia, and Costa Rica, very kind of similar to how they play, kind of defensive-minded. Switzerland probably has the best team after Brazil in this group, but I get a really good feeling about Serbia. They have some good players. They have Matic, who's a proven veteran. I think that they'll find a way to get the second spot, so I'll go Brazil and Serbia.
Okay, so you talked about Group F, and Group F is loaded as well. Germany, you mentioned Germany and Mexico, El Tri, Sweden, and South Korea. What you got there?
Well, I'm just going to get the obvious out of the way first. Germany's going to win this group. They're too good. I don't think they're as good as their 2014 team, but they're too good not to win this group. If they don't win this group, I'd be shocked. After that, I think it's a race for second between Sweden and Mexico. I'm not very high on South Korea at all. Sweden is a very defensive-minded team. They actually were the team that eliminated Italy to get here. And Mexico, everyone knows about the curse of Mexico. They have gotten to the round of 16 the last last four World Cups, and have not been able to get past that round. And I think this year, I am not a supporter of Mexico. I support the United States, so I'm going to go Germany, Sweden, get out of that group.
Six down, two to go as far as our four team groups go. We're in Group G now. Interesting group as well. Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, England. What do you got there?
So Belgium is in what a lot of people call a golden generation. That is when a bunch of really good soccer players from a nation come together kind of at once. And Belgium has not had a team like this ever. They're not a traditional soccer power, but the last two World Cups, last time and this one, there's a lot of expectations on them. Last time they got to the quarterfinals, I think they can go farther. They have two of the 10 best players in the world, and Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard. They have a great goalkeeper. They have solid defense with Vincent Kompany. I honestly think that if this team had a little bit of a better coach, I would think that they would win it. I really do. But I'm going to go with them winning the group, and then England coming in second after them. England's got some pretty good talent, and this England team is different from teams in the past because it seems like they're young. They actually like each other. That's one thing with England that you haven't really seen in a long time. You always see kind of like bickering and stuff like that among English players. But I think that the rest of the group is just not strong enough for Belgium and England not to get out of the group. So I'm going to go with Belgium winning the group and England to finish second.
And then wrapping things up as far as our group analysis goes, Group H, Poland, Senegal, Colombia, Japan. What you got?
So for this group, this one is a little interesting. Japan, I think, is the lone team in this that probably will not be very competitive, but the other three will be pretty competitive. Poland's got Robert Lewandowski, who's one of the best strikers in the world. Colombia has James Rodriguez, who's one of the best midfielders in the world. And Senegal has Sadio Mane, who's one of the best wingers in the world. So, but then after that, the teams aren't as good as you would say, like the Belgiums and the Spains and the Frances of the world. But Colombia actually does have a decent amount of players after Rodriguez, like Falcao. And I really think that this is their group to win. I think if they don't win this group, I think I would be kind of shocked. Poland has some good players as well, but nothing, like I said, on the scale of Brazil or Spain. And then Sadio Mane is someone for Senegal who can literally change a game. I think he's one of the more undervalued players in the world. A lot of people think he's a top 50 player, but I still think people don't understand just how good he is. So I'm going to go with Colombia and then Senegal to ride Sadio Mane back to the second round.
So that gets us from 32 to 16. That's the knockout round, of course. Then it becomes single elimination. Maybe take us from 16 to 4. Just who do you think the last four will be, and then last two and your champ. Take us through that.
All right. So to get to the semifinals, I'll go with France, Spain. I'll go with Belgium and Germany. I had to think about it just for a second to make sure I was doing it right in my head, to make sure I was like, well, this team will play that team. But yeah, okay, I've got those four as my semifinalists. Like I said, when I looked at after the 2014 year, I really liked what France had. Paul Pogba, Antonio Griezmann, I thought by this time they would be some of the best players in the world, and they are, but then they also have a kid who came out of nowhere named Mbappe. He's 19 years old. He might be 20 now, but he's 19, 20 years old. He's been just amazing, and for his club and for France, I'd look for him to be in good form. France's defense was something that I always worried about, but they've had a couple of defenders step up in the last couple of years that I think now their defense isn't really a question mark. I've raved about Spain like for 5 minutes already, so I don't need to go into more detail on them. But Belgium, like I was saying earlier, two top 10 players, they're solid all around. The only thing to worry about with Belgium, and actually with France, forgot to point that out, is coaching has been questioned. The coaching is like, I'm trying to think of a good equivalent to that, but I can't really off the top of my head right now. But the coaching seems to be the problem. Like, people don't know if they can trust the coaches of those two clubs. They get them very far. And then Germany, it's Germany. They have great players. Toni Kroos, Mesut Ozil. Their biggest concern is if their goalkeeper, Manuel Neuer, will be fit for the World Cup. But they're fine everywhere. If someone gets hurt for them, they have someone plenty good to fill in the roles. And I don't think that they're going to miss him that much if he isn't 100%. That would be my semifinal. I believe if that's the case, then it would be France versus Belgium and Germany versus Spain would be my semifinal matches.
Okay. And who would you have advancing to the final from there?
I'm going to stick with France since I said that I like them, so for you to be known. And then I'm going to go with Spain to beat Germany. And I will go one step further, make it a little bit of like a call, like I'll try to call it. I think Spain will beat Germany convincingly in the semifinals.
Okay. And then, so we got France, we got Spain in your World Cup final. How do things play out there?
I'm going to go with France. I picked them 4 years ago, Chris. I'm going to stick with them. This World Cup has been really fun, though, to think about and break down, because going into most World Cups, I've been really confident who I think is going to win it. 2014, I thought Brazil, just because it was in Brazil, and I thought there's no way Brazil's not going to win it in Brazil. Didn't happen, but I was confident in it before it happened. 2010, I thought Spain was going to win it because they just looked so much better than everybody else, and Spain did win it. So compared to the last two World Cups, I feel like this one is way more wide open than the other the last two were. So I'm going to stick with Slant. So I went with that as my gut feeling back 4 years ago. I'll stick with it now. And if they let me down, I'll probably never pick them again.
Well, for our listeners out there, what we're going to do through the World Cup, I'll get together with Seth here on a regular basis, and we'll update things. Of course, it plays out over the next few weeks. We're still in, you know, obviously starting the group play tomorrow. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday, so it starts Thursday. All over the TV, Fox has the contract. And I'll say this, you know, we talked to Seth last week about the World Cup and how the U.S. isn't involved and, you know, is that going to impact? You know what? I think as we get closer, I mean, I know for myself, and maybe it's because I've been prepping just to do podcasting with you talking about this, but, you know, I'm going to pick a team or two and decide they're my favorites and follow them. And I bet there are a lot of American fans who do the same thing. We're going to want to see, you know, it is the World Cup. It's only once every 4 years. And, you know, maybe we can pick whatever nationality we think we are according to Ancestry.com. Or, you know, if you're a big fan of Mexican food, your favorite Mexican restaurant has El Tri up on the screen. Maybe you just want to watch them and root for them because it makes your waiters happier when they're serving you the chips and salsa. But, you know, we all are going to figure out our rooting interests. I bet a lot of us are going to watch this even without the U.S. involved.
Tell you, it's still going to be very much fun. Like I said, I think it's the most open tournament, wide open tournament that I've seen in the last 12 years. There should be some talent all over the field. If you're rooting for someone who's never won it before and has a legitimate shot, I consider rooting for Belgium, like I've been talking about. But if you want to root for someone that's like a feel-good story, why not Iceland? Like I said, maybe a fourth of their population might be in attendance for the game. That's just crazy to think about. So yeah, there's a lot of fun teams to choose from. If you want to go by best jersey, Nigeria's jersey is already sold. I think it's like, I can't remember what the number was, but it's already like one of the fastest selling jerseys for a World Cup kit ever. So, and they haven't even played a game yet. So yeah, it should be a fun time, a fun month. If you're not into soccer, maybe you'll finally, you know, tune in for a game and decide, you know what, this is for me, and then maybe you can root for the United States in the next one if we get to that one.
That's right. And, of course, the Women's World Cup in a couple of years, we always have something to root for there. So, well, Seth, I want to thank you for your time, and we'll have you on again soon, and we'll break down the first few games early next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Brett.